Welcome to the 25th episode of Reset. 40 is the new happy, an ongoing celebration of people who take their lives to the next level by shaking things up. Such a person is longtime friend Steve Gamblin. Now, like this podcast series, Steve is all about living his dream and sharing with others how they too can get there. The former radio personality and producer has taken his show on the road with his company. Now, when he's not out collecting goods for homeless veterans, Steve might be found motivating a ballroom filled with sales professionals, or you name the career. He highlights his trademarked motivational firewood because nobody meets their goals by sitting on cold hands. So, Steve, I mentioned you worked in radio. We worked together. Why would you leave something you loved to become a philanthropist and a motivational coach?
What was happening right around my 10th year of radio was I realized I had worked about 15 years worth of hours. And as you know, back in the day when radio didn't pay a lot, you had to do something on the weekends too. So I spent much of a decade working 60, 75, 80 hours a week and found out at the end of those 10 years, I was physically, mentally, and emotionally fried. It wasn't packing the same buzz anymore. And in a very short window of time, right in my mid to late 30s, I made a few very not well thought out decisions. I retired from radio without a full-time job. I went through a divorce, and I found myself $65,000 in debt, basically knocking on my dad's door for a place to stay. And that's pretty much where it all fell apart. I'm an all-or-nothing guy, and I gave it all away and sat there in the ashes for a couple of years with nothing.
So this is what you describe as the crash and burn portion of the program.
Yeah, this is the crash and burn, and of course people think, oh, then like the mighty phoenix, you rose from the ashes. And I say, well, you know, my phoenix fluttered around for 2 years, and it still continues to ride a pogo stick. I mean, success, failure, but each time I found since then to find my true passion, which is sharing with others and inspiring them, the phoenix bounces higher every single time.
All right, so you left radio for some reason. You retired at whatever age it was, I think 40 or whatever. And you was there just something missing in doing that? Aside from the fact that maybe you were getting burned out, was there still something kind of missing in what you were doing every day?
I didn't like where the industry was going. When I got into radio, which was 1992, several people who had been veterans took me aside and said, take a good look around, my boy. This is all going away. And it did. It became very impersonal. And rules and regulations allowed people to come in and buy up a bunch of radio stations, fire half the staff, and automate it by computers. And that's really not the reason I got into radio. I got into radio because I love connecting with listeners. And it was becoming more and more impersonal and losing its connection.
So is there the fact that you use humor and self-deprecation, that I would guess helps people connect with you pretty quickly, especially if they don't really know anything about you going in?
Yeah, what I try to do at the beginning of all my presentations is just be very, very real. And somebody asked me about a year ago at a speaking event, and it was real snotty about it. Why should I listen to you? I say, well, I'll give you the honest answer. I had what I thought was a great life. I wrecked it, and I put it all back together, and I took notes. Ta-da! So I say that at the beginning and just tell people, look, I'm you. I just have no fear about getting up on a stage and talking about the lessons I've learned in life. And if I can turn around and reach a hand out to maybe help you get to your next level, that's why I do this.
All right, so as a motivator, you need to lead by example. Have any of your life students duplicated your feat of bungee jumping off the 1,149-foot Stratosphere Tower in Las Vegas? And why did you do that?
I did that because I believe every once in a while you have to do what I call blowing out the cobwebs. When you get a little bored or, you know, you just feel you need to do something. You need to get out and scream a little bit. For some people, and I found this out since doing that, because I've had people say, well, I would never jump off that tower, and I'm glad you measured it. I mean, that's interesting. There's a video of it on YouTube. People have said, well, I could never do that. And I've had people come up and say, I struggle to go to the movies alone or go to a restaurant alone. So what I encourage people to do is at least once a year, take a limiting belief of yours that you say I can't do and go do. And then go home and write about it. Journaling is the greatest gift you can give to your future self. I encourage people every day, find one good thing to write down and stretch yourself a little bit. You'd be amazed when you read back about how far you've come and how limiting your beliefs were before that.
I totally agree. I tell people, especially if they're starting a new career or a new adventure, journal, write notes, just one or two sentences every day. You'll be amazed, you know, by the end of your production years, you could probably write a book that a lot of people would want to read.
I've been journaling for about 27 years, actually. It's creeping up on almost 30 years. And when I became a speaker, right around my 40th birthday, when I did the big shift, I looked back through my old journals, and that's where most of my stories came from. And I'm so thankful that I gave myself that gift. I didn't remember a lot of this stuff as happening. I'd either written it off if it was bad, or maybe minimized it if it was good. But what seems like nothing now at the time were huge breakthroughs. And I'm so glad I gave myself that gift.
So there's no other crazy stunts on the horizon, anything on the drawing board you'd like to share with us right now, a la the stratosphere jump?
I haven't gone skydiving in a while now, and I had a former chiropractor that told me not to do it anymore because of the damage I had already done through a dirt bike accident to my spine, but I don't see that chiropractor anymore, so there goes my excuse for not skydiving again, and I'll pay more attention in the classes this time, because the last time I screwed up my first solo skydive so much, the only way I could have made it worse is if I dove out of the plane and went up.
Steve, you recently developed a vision board as a tool for helping people to see where they want to go. Elaborate a bit on that.
Yeah, it's something that I was taught about early on, kind of in the big crash. Early on, I met a wonderful coach named Coach Dan, and we got to talking about where my life had been and where I wanted it to go, and he asked if I'd ever heard of vision boards, and at the time I had not. The Secret was brand new, and they talk a lot about law of attraction and vision boards. And over time, I learned and kind of adopted and created my own programs around it of when you set your goals or resolutions, whatever you want to call them, know exactly what you want them to look like. And here's the biggest question, I've added this to all my trainings, know why. So say if you want to have a certain car next year, first off, know why you want the car. Do you want to just look good, or do you want to or appear successful? And then go sit in one and take your picture and make it very, very real. So I encourage people, have an emotional connection when you're building vision boards or even just setting goals. Have a very, very, very tight emotional connection to why you want that. And then, of course, put it where you can see it every day.
And we'll have a link, and I think we're also going to put a link up on the jump from the stratosphere as well, so people can get in touch, see how crazy you are, and then see how the vision board works and how they can get in touch with you about that. All right, so we're all human, and on those rare days when you're not feeling it, who do you turn to for a shot of emotional firewood?
I like to scan Facebook, social media, other places, read the news, or at least looked up Huffington Post Good News. And find people who are out there doing good things, especially people who are regular, everyday souls like I am. You know, I go back and forth like the tide. I mean, I have my good days, I have bad days. But what I do on the days where I'm not feeling 100%, I find people who are out there who are doing more with less. People who have less reason maybe to be happy than I do, and they're still happy. And keep an eye on what they're doing and glean some clues from it, and then put it into action.
For anybody that is connected with you or is on Facebook, they can see that you have a foundation called Beach Bum Philosophy, or Beach Bum Philanthropy, I guess is the right word. And it kind of strikes me as the type of giving that most people can identify with. Maybe it's just the vibe, or the fact that you don't have to donate millions, just every little bit helps.
Yeah, Beach Bum Philanthropy is the name given because a few years ago I was trying to do an act of kindness every day. And somebody said, well, I'm really inspired by that, and I want to be able to follow it. Why don't you give it a name? And they said, well, what do you want to be in life? And I said, Beach Bum. That took half a second to come out, Beach Bum. And what we did was just created this little grassroots movement. It's not even an official nonprofit. It's more of a mindset and a way of life to just get up and cruise through the day as best you can, but always be looking for an opportunity to leave a situation better than you found it. And create even the tiniest act of kindness. Hold the door for someone today. And when they say thank you, don't look down. Don't say, oh, it's nothing. Look them right in the eye and say, you're welcome. And I hope you have a great day.
Maybe that's my cue to buy you lunch when the interview is done.
Hey, I never turn down free lunch anymore. No way.
Finally, share the first thing that somebody listening can do today who wants to make a course correction in their lives, be it personal or professional.
There are four tools that I talk about quite a bit, and leave your home, shut off all things electronic. Four tools: pen, paper, heart, mind. Go sit somewhere that you're not emotionally tied to or that people are around who know you. Sit down, and in every area of your life, whether it be your mental health and happiness, your career, your finances, your connections, your relationships, your health, everything. Sit down and be brutally honest with yourself and dig deep about where your life is right now and where you wish it to be. If you're not doing something that makes you happy or passionate, who is? And then seek out these people and observe them. They leave clues. But be brutally honest with yourself. Pen, paper, heart, and mind.
We'll leave you with a link to not only The Jump, but how to find out more about that motivational firewood guy, Steve Gamblin. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Mike.
God, I felt so clogged up. I'm like, I'm